When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, let's go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570, LA Sports. 3-hour show for us today. Off the top, it was the marquee game of the night. The NBA game, the Lakers, wasn't even the big game yesterday. It was UCLA and Gonzaga. UCLA number 2, Gonzaga number 1. And as you would say, Rodney, they took them out to the woodshed. That was just a good old-fashioned beatdown.
Yeah, yeah, from start to finish, Freddie. They were up by 20 at halftime and won by 20. It felt like Gonzaga was up for the game and UCLA wasn't quite ready for prime time.
Yeah, no defense. That'll hurt you.
A little bit. You think?
You might want to make a note of this. Got to play a little D. Got to defend if you're going to win the game. And UCLA looked flat, didn't play any defense. Yes, they missed Cody Riley. But they just didn't even seem to be in it, you know? They seem to be a step
from the
slow
start.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're thinking as you're watching the game, okay, so Gonzaga grabs the lead. You know, you'll see the back and forth. Problem was there was no back and forth.
None. No back and forth.
It's like they were getting pummeled and put up no fight.
Yeah. Look, they played them, what, relatively even in the second half, but playing them even when you're down by 20 doesn't help you.
No, that's not going to make much of a difference. Right.
No, no.
Right. And, you know, give Mick Cronin credit. Look, he's rebuilt the program. He got it back to national prominence. It's certainly now on the radar here in Los Angeles, and we've said it so many times. You got to win to be relevant here, even UCLA basketball. You know, the days of this is the program John Wooden built and we have the legacy, that's done. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right?
It's exactly the same at SC. You know, before P.O., remember the days of John McKay and John Robinson and those guys. And then Pete came, and people still talk about, the Pete Carroll days. That's 20 years ago. You know, so, you know, you got to move on from that. And same thing he said with UCLA basketball. You know, they had a title in the 90s, but people are looking for them to win it again.
Yeah, and Mick got them to a point now.
Yeah.
And after that run last year, which was so spectacular, that they're in the conversation. So that's why if they get blown out the way they did, you have to step back and take pause. I mean, Plaschke just hammered him in the paper today. Hammered him.
Shocked.
Shocked. Well, I'll say this about Bill. It's always big. If it's a win, it's a big win. If it's a loss, it's a big loss.
But I love what I love. We love Plaschke, but what I love about him, he is brutally honest. But he also, in the moment, but he also is the guy that will say, I was wrong about that.
Yeah, well.
He's big about that, so that's why you respect him so much, because he can admit when he's wrong. And not a lot of guys in his position do, Fred.
No, but he does, and honestly, that's what makes him one of the best. But I look at it like this. They just started the season. You're just underway. This is the pre-conference schedule. And by the way, the only thing that matters is getting to the tournament. We know that, right? I mean, we know it from the pros. You get to the playoffs. In college basketball, you want to get to the tournament. You get to the tournament, now you're talking. If you're not in the tournament, none of this matters anyway. It's irrelevant. Nice year. Thanks for showing up. We'll see you next year. So don't put too much stock into the fact that they got hammered, which they did. It's very early. There's a lot of time. Let's hear from Mick Cronin, though, because this is always a highlight. Oh, the best in the business. And let's start with Mick talking about what his team made Gonzaga seem like last night.
We became a really good defensive team. We made the Final Four. Our offensive numbers in the six previous games, and the six in the NCAA tournament were identical. Identical. This is not a, you know, it's not a secret formula. So, but I got news for you. As good as Gonzaga is, if they come out, dribble really fast down the court and lay it in seven times in the first half, I don't like our chances. Seven times. It was 14 to nothing, fast break points. They weren't the Lakers. It wasn't Kareem to Magic to Byron to Worthy for the dunk. It was the guy with the ball dribbled all the way the length of the court and laid it in. We didn't offer much in the way of resistance.
Well, that's going to get you beat. That's like watching AAU ball or youth league ball. Yeah. Hey, we got one guy that can dribble really well and really fast.
Yeah, get a layup.
Just go. Take it the length of the court every time.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that in Division I college basketball. You can't have one guy just take the ball and drive down the court and keep laying it in, running by everybody. That's what I tell Jack Rogan. You're faster than those guys. Just run by him. Just go. Run by him.
Go.
Yeah. Go. Okay, Division III, you can probably pull that off a little bit. In Division I college basketball...
Shouldn't happen.
No, you can't let that happen. By the way, Jack won last night.
Ah, love it. Yeah, I love it.
I think they're like 4-0 now.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Did he?
Yeah, played pretty well. Okay, so anyway, that was Mick Cronin talking about that they made Gonzaga look like the Showtime Lakers. Now, none of his players talk with the media after the game. I wonder why.
Symbolism is I'm the coach. We got beat, and it's my job to answer for it. Right now, they need to have they need to be talking to each other and make a decision on what we're going to do.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Right?
But that's not how it's always been, has it?
What do you mean?
Players have never talked. Their UCLA players have never talked to the media after games.
He just meant in that particular game. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them spoke the night before after Bellarmine. They were asking spoke last night.
Yeah, yeah, you can't pick and choose. I mean, we got to jump on him like we jump on LeBron, who doesn't talk to the media after the game, after that Malice 2 in the Palace?
Oh, you're saying
we got all over?
He didn't let his guys talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't we got to hold him to the same scrutiny? They got blown out by their number 2. They got blown out by Gonzaga. They didn't play well, to his own admission. I mean, they spoke, to Kevin's point, they spoke against Bellarmine when they won. Why are the players not speaking when they lose? Do they get a pass?
No, I think probably after whatever Mick had to say to him, they were in tears. I don't know. Yeah, that's a valid point, Rodney. That's valid.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd want to hear Tiger Campbell say, yeah, the guy just ran by me 4 times in a row.
I mean, you're at a big-time college program. You're number 2 in the country. They got stars on that team.
Yeah.
Of course you want to hear from them. Of course you do. And if you're going to hear from them when you win, you got to hear from them when they lose. It'd be one thing if they didn't speak all year long. But the fact that they've spoken before after games, and for whatever reason, when they get blown out, they don't speak, I think it's just a bad precedent. And if we're going to blow up other guys... We're going to blow up NBA guys that don't speak or other guys that don't go to the podium. We got to hold them to the same standard.
Maybe Mick told him, look, you did all your talking on the court last night, and nobody wants to hear any more from you.
I'm sure he said that.
We've heard what you have to say tonight.
I'm sure he said that.
Dummy up, everybody.
Yeah, and I'm sure it wasn't the players who didn't want to talk. He just said, I'm handling this for you guys.
Yeah. And then he's talked about this so far this season, relying too much on offense and what that could lead to.
When you don't make shots, you got to find a way to win. The answer is defense, toughness. That's what teams do. You know, it's not – people say, oh, well, you know, Mick Cronin's into defense. Well, what the hell you think Mark Few's into? You know, you're going to be a consistent winner. You got to win when you don't make shots. And that's been a fight because we're a skilled team, but we can't rely on that. We scored a lot of points to start the year, averaging 90-something a game. So I think that's our trap that I have to make sure we got to get out of that, because that's a fool's gold trap. We start taking threes that go are open and they start going in and out, in and out, in and out, and that's in our head instead of getting back on defense. But they should know better because we've already been through this. So my answer to that, guys, what do you got to do? Who's in the locker room? Well, we've been down this road already. They know you just, so if you only win when the ball goes in, you're going to be a 500 team. You better fill out your NIT papers.
Everything he says is valid.
Beauty.
Everything he says makes sense.
You better fill out your NIT papers. I love it. I love it. Right. So, save that, Kevin.
You better fill out your NIT papers.
Yeah. We'll put that one on the board, too.
Yeah.
That one we have. Anyway, all right. They lost. They were annihilated. It's one game. Mick will figure it out. They'll be fine. Don't you agree?
Oh yeah. I mean, nothing but confidence in Mick Cronin and his team, and they'll respond. I mean, in every sport, you go through these moments where you just not your night. And as he mentioned, when the ball doesn't go in, you got to do the other things. You got to play defense, and you got to get stops. And they didn't do, the ball didn't go in, and they didn't get stops and didn't play defense. So they'll get it corrected. And you know, there's a lot of games in basketball. So you're going to have one or two of those games a year that you just absolutely don't have it. And they certainly didn't have it last night.
But can we agree on one thing? Man, Gonzaga looked pretty good. They look really good.
Yeah, they do.
They look fast, big.
It was a Daddy Long Leg guy that got out there, that big recruit.
Daddy Long Legs.
He's a freshman.
He is a freshman. Yeah. He's blocking shots left and right. The kid looks good.
Did you see it after the game?
But is it going to be the Gonzaga looks good all season, regular
one
season?
Of those.
And then gets to a team that can outrun them like Baylor did last year?
Oh, that was not pretty.
Did you see that interview after the game, Mark Few and the center? They were talking to him on ESPN. Mark Few looked like he was a leprechaun. The guy was so gigantic next to him. I mean, I thought.
Did you call Mark Few a leprechaun?
Yeah, he kind of did. Looking for Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious. He did. He looked like a Lilliputian. He was tiny compared to this guy. That kid was massive. Just really tall. All right. So that's that. Now the question, because UCLA will be fine. How about the Lakers? Are they going to be fine? You know, they started very much like UCLA did last night. Exact same thing against
the but they closed the gap.
They did come back.
They closed the gap they at did some come point. Back.
Then they ran out of gas, and that was the end of it. Defensively, there was no defense for the Lakers early in the game. And even though they came back, they still got it put on them pretty good. Yeah. Again, they got it put on them pretty good. And, you know, LeBron didn't play. And that was a penalty because he would want to play in Madison Square Garden. But I don't know, Rodney, you look at him now and every game, well, LeBron will be back. They've only played these guys six quarters together. No, I think there needs to be, if you're realistic, a little bit of concern here.
Are you saying now? My concern was a month ago. it is a concern because now you're a team that can't win without LeBron at all, and not just can't win without LeBron, without LeBron being LeBron. I mean, even when LeBron's there, it's close ball games, and you know he's in the game, so. It's very concerning when he's out of the game, when the approach of the guys that they brought in is that they'd be able to weather the storm if either LeBron or AD were out at some point, and they haven't been able to do that. AD, I know he was under the weather a little bit last night and only had 20 points, but that's the reason you brought him in here too, is that he is that guy that can take over a game if LeBron is not on or LeBron is not playing. And so far this year, we really haven't seen him be, okay, this is my game. I'm going to dominate the game today. LeBron's not here. I'm going to get it. Or Westbrook. I'm going to get 40 because I need to make up that gap. We haven't seen that from those two guys this year. We've seen, you know, spurt here and spurt there, but a consistent on a consistent basis when LeBron has been out, and he's been out quite a bit already this season, that we haven't seen that attitude or that dominance from AD and Russ yet.
So that leads to this, and Plaschke brought it up with us when he was on recently. If somebody's got to get it for this, and there's going to be a point in time, there's going to be that point of no return. This is a real problem, and something has to be done. Who's going to get it? And Bill suggested, I hope it's not Frank Vogel. I hope he doesn't get it for this. But there will come a point in time if this continues. Something's got to happen. Because, again, LeBron has so many years left. They've got to win now. There's no tomorrow for these guys. They've got to win. And if this isn't working, something's got to happen. What is that something that's going to happen? Well, you're certainly not going to get rid of the guy that put the team together, because that's LeBron. He is the general manager. I guess you could get rid of Rob Pelinka for doing what LeBron wanted, but you won't do that because Jeannie Buss loves him. So as we go down the list, you're not going to get rid of Linda Rambis or Kurt Rambis. Okay, they're not going anywhere. If something has to be done, really, there's one person left, and that's Frank Vogel.
Why does something have to be done?
I'm saying if this is bad and they continue to struggle, they don't have the luxury of having lost seasons. Can't be, well, this one just didn't work out.
So that's what we do. So we look at it like, even though Frank Vogel is coaching guys that he probably had no input or no say-so on who he's coaching, and we all know that. We all know it's between LeBron and Rob Pelinka. They go, here, Frank, coach him. He go. So we're going to put it all on Frank Vogel. That's how we do it. That's how it goes, which I know it does, but it sucks about the sports, is that it goes to one guy's going to take a fall for it when he is just asked to just coach what he's got. It'd be different if he was the guy putting everything together. He was the guy that brought in the different players and said, these are the guys I want. These are the guys I want to coach and I believe in, and it didn't work out. Then he's like, oh, yeah, Frank, you wanted these guys, so, you know, you didn't coach them, and it didn't work out, so see you later. But that's not the case here. And so he's been asked to coach these guys, and we're seeing that it's been difficult for those guys to play together and have some synergy right now. And just can't put it all on Frank Vogel, but unfortunately, that's how sports work.
No, and by the way,
do you have to make a change for sake of making a change?
All right.
I mean, I know that is like the in vogue thing to do, which I hate, because you look at it from the pressure from outside instead of really analyzing what is really going on internally with your organization, which is why I love the Steeler organization so much, is that they've only had three head coaches in the entire history of that franchise. They don't have a quick trigger finger on the coaches, whether they have a good, mediocre year or not. They totally analyze it, and they allow those coaches to do what they do and try to win, and also allow them to fail from time to time.
No, I agree with you, Rodney. Frank Vogel shouldn't go anywhere. There's no way they should make a move with Frank Vogel. But what I'm saying is, if in fact this is it, you've got to win this year. And, man, honestly, this looks like a complete mess. It watching these guys, like, oh, God, who put these guys together? Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe LeBron will figure it out. Maybe it will go the way it's supposed to.
What's okay?
They win.
Second round?
No.
That's not okay?
Right
they
now.
They make the playoffs, it's not good enough?
No.
They get to the Western Conference Finals, not good enough?
No.
So you still fire Frank Vogel if they only get to the Western Conference Finals?
I'm not firing Frank Vogel at all, but I'm saying,
suggesting it.
No, I'm saying someone's going to take the fall for this. I'm more concerned about what's going on right now. I'm not even worrying about the playoffs at this point. If this continues this way, something will happen. It has to happen.
Because they're struggling with lower tier teams right now.
Exactly.
You know. And it's just, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight, because it's, you know, the Pacers on the road, they haven't played well on the road. And if they struggle again, then it's, you know, it's, It's one thing to, okay, we got beat by Golden State, who's, you know, who's killing the league, or a Chicago team that's playing, you know, way above their heads, or playing really, really good. But when you're struggling to beat Detroit, you lose to Oklahoma City twice. You know, you lose to the Knicks, who are a good team, but they're not, you know, upper echelon. Yeah, that's a big concern. Big concern.
We'll see what happens by the first of the year, because I think things have got to turn around by. No, I'm dead serious.
Is that date going to keep getting pushed back?
Yeah.
Let it be a month in. We'll evaluate after a month.
Because the thing is, Fred, and I know you're not advocating for the firing of Frank Vogel.
I'm not.
Just getting into their minds is what would that accomplish? If you fired Frank Vogel and, say, promoted like David Fizdale or something.
Which they would do.
Is there something schematically he's going to do different to make this awkward fit better as a coach?
Probably not.
Right.
So that goes to Rodney's point. If you're just changing something for the sake of changing something and there's no plan in place.
No, I understand that. But the point is this. This is not Frank Vogel's doing. But if it doesn't work, who's going to get it?
Why does someone have to get it?
Because they have to win now.
But that doesn't change it. They acknowledge that regardless. It'll change.
So look, if they don't win now, they're not winning next year. They're not winning with this current group. It's not going to work if they don't win now.
I don't care if you bring back Pat Riley. You're not winning with this group.
Right, but again, if you put this together and you've told everybody this has to work, and it's got to work now, and LeBron's running out of time.
You tell everybody. Plasky tells everybody. They didn't say that. I didn't hear Rob Pelinka's mouth. We got to win. This is the last ditch effort. We got to win it now.
No, he's setting up dinner with Heath Ledger.
There you go.
No, Rodney.
What a cheap shot, Kevin. Can you believe he said that?
That's
ridiculous.
I thought
we were past that.
You know what I say?
I think he'll never live that one down.
Happy Thanksgiving.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Hold me down. Don't need to take no vows. You're reaching for.
Oh, yeah. Happy Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Coming at ya.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
Hey, make sure you spice up your Thanksgiving turkey tomorrow with the bold, rich flavors, paprika, garlic, and more, and Chef Marito's turkey seasoning. This holiday season, find it at your Super King in the meat department or seasoning aisle. Gary and Torrance, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Fred. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you today?
I'm great, man. How's Rodney Pete doing?
Hey, I'm ready to go. I'm always ready to go.
Right, let's get it on. Brother.
Let's get it on.
All right.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Gary, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Oh, spending time with my family, man. My two beautiful daughters, Andrea and Bianca.
Very nice. Are you cooking?
No, man. They're cooking.
All right. Good.
Probably, and their mom's cooking, too, yeah.
You know what? Probably better, don't you think, than you trying it?
Exactly, man. I'll just be eating and watching football, man.
Going to be a good day. All right.
Oh, great day.
All right. Ronnie, you ready to go?
Happy Thanksgiving, Rogan and Rodney and Gary. Let's play.
Okay. Here's the deal. Let's know your squad. Gary, remember this. I've got to give you five choices. If you answer before I've given all five choices, you will be locked out. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. The Rams intercepted Tom Brady once in their Super Bowl loss to the Patriots in 2018. Which of these players recorded that interception? Aqib Talib, Corey Littleton, Marcus Peters, John Johnson, or Sean Johnson? Corey Littleton. That was Ronnie. All right. Ronnie's on the board. The big Thanksgiving edition of Know Your Squad. What do you got, Gary?
Which one? No, I had a. I think I missed that one.
Yeah, you missed it. That's all right. Here's the next one. Here we go again. Rams beat the Buccaneers in their final game in St. Louis in 2015. Which of these players scored on a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown in that game? Kayvon Austin, Todd Gurley, Trey Mason, Kenny Britt, or Kenny Rogers?
Trey Mason.
Todd Gurley.
No good! No Kenny good!
Britt. How about Gurley?
Kayvon Austin.
Kayvon Austin. Ronnie.
Kayvon Austin.
Oh.
Kayvon Austin.
Kayvon Austin was the correct
Kayvon
answer.
Kayvon Austin.
Yeah. You just, Gary, you're just a little short on that one. Ronnie just got in ahead.
All right, man.
All right. The Rams won a franchise worst. One game in the 2009 season when they beat Detroit 17-10. Who scored the game-winning touchdown with less than 2 minutes remaining in that game? Daniel Fells, Steven Jackson, Danny Amendola, Randy McMichael, or Randy Savage?
Steven Jackson.
Yep, Ronnie got it. Steven Jackson.
Ronnie, you cheating?
Not today.
Yeah, man, you were quick on that one.
Gary's calling you out.
Well, you know what? I'm feeling good. It's Thanksgiving. Let's go.
Yeah, man, I think there's a delay on my phone, man. My whole Steven Jackson, man.
Yeah, right. I heard you.
No, you did say it. As a matter of fact, you've had two of them right.
Like just 30 seconds later.
Well, I don't know.
Whoa, that was not right.
All right, maybe 10.
Why are you dogging
out
Gary?
I got Android, man.
Come on.
He probably got an iPhone.
He's on Android.
That explains it.
You know what? I'll tell you what you should have.
And plus AT&T.
Yeah, Google Pixels.
That's right. If you want to take a picture of some spotted owls.
Out in the backyard.
That's right. Fred will show you how to do it.
Oh, my God. That owl. Wow. Here's your next one. Who is the Rams' career leader in tackles for loss with 140? Who is the Rams' career leader in tackles for loss with 140? Leonard Little, Chris Long, Aaron Donald, Grant Wistrom, or Theodore Long?
Leonard Little.
How about you?
Oh, that's it. You're on the board, Gary. You got it.
All right.
Gary got it. Aaron Donald is correct.
That's what
finally.
I said.
Yeah, well, no, you earned that one. You got in there early. I guess there was no delay on that particular question.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, okay, Fred.
Oh, you see what he did there? I see you, Fred.
I saw that, man, Fred. They cut that beard off, man. You look a lot better than your surgery.
Yeah, but now I have street cred, Gary.
Yeah, you do look a little gangster.
Thank you. That's what I was going for. You know, I worked with Rodney. Man. I had to change it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Because Rodney always looks sharp, man.
Talk to him. Let him know.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah, always. Always, Fred.
All right, here we go. The Rams beat the Chiefs in a 54-51 shootout in November of 2018, and that was a great game.
Yes, it was.
Which of these players caught two of Jared Goff's four touchdown passes in that game? Tyler Higbee, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, Gerald Everett, or Gerald LeVert?
Brandon Cooks. Well, Tyler Higbee.
Gerald Everett.
Yes. Daddy.
Was it Daddy?
Yes.
Daddy, you got that one?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was Ronnie.
First thing came out of my mouth was Gerald Everett.
Okay.
Ronnie didn't even say
that
Gerald.
That was Rodney. Yeah, that was Rodney.
Okay, so here's where we're at with the final question. Ronnie, congratulations. You've already won.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
Nice job.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but Gary.
Any consolation prizes?
No, Gary, wait a minute. You're playing now for second place. You and Rodney each have one.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. The Rams sacked Steve McNair one time in the Super Bowl win over the Titans in January of 2000. Do you remember who recorded that sack? Was it DeMarco Farr, London Fletcher, Grant Wistrom, Kevin Carter, or Nell Carter?
Kevin Carter.
London Fletcher.
Rodney. Kevin Carter is correct. That was a hell of a guess.
I knew that.
You did not know that.
I remember that Super Bowl.
From 2000.
Rodney was playing at that time. He probably played against a lot of these guys. It wouldn't surprise
Fred,
me. Yeah,
I remember that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. He had an edge
Mike
on that
Jones
one.
Jones made the stop.
Well, that I remember. But
Kevin Dyson was the ball. Caught the ball.
Short. Yep.
Played with Kevin Dyson in Charlotte, Fred. So I don't know what the hell you talking about.
Because you
I
wouldn't.
I was in there.
You wouldn't remember the one sack in the game.
Why not? It's the Super Bowl, Fred.
You remembered one.
Wide right! Remember that? Who kicked that?
Who did kick it?
All right, man. I got to concede, I guess. And but give me a consolation prize, man. Give me a Ram ticket. Ram ticket.
We're holding Gary up, apparently.
You go, Gary.
All right, man. I got to go. So
y'all holding me up. I got to go.
Gary, have a turkey leg. How about that?
Do we have another question? Let's do or die, man. So one question.
Well, I'll tell you what, Gary. I thought you performed well. You got one right, and that's something to be proud of, okay?
All right, man.
All right, have
a
good
day. I was late on two of them, though.
All right, well, that's all right. Call back after Thanksgiving. We'll go again.
All right, hey, good talking to you guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Freddie Gibbs fan, Fred.
Goes without saying. Hey, you know what I saw online real quick? Mitch, who calls the show all the time, posted a happy Thanksgiving with a picture of himself.
Mitch!
I know what Mitch looks like.
Mitch did?
Yeah.
Oh, Mitch. Happy Thanksgiving, Mitch.
Okay. So after Thanksgiving, Chargers are going to head up to Denver, take on the Broncos. And joining us is Uchenna Nwosu. And Uchenna, thanks for coming on the show today, man. Outside linebacker for the Chargers.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Uchenna, weren't you happy Fred didn't butcher your name like I'm sure a lot of people do?
Yeah, he didn't do it too bad, man. It was pretty good.
He was good.
Well, Rodney, hey, I got to get it right. I mean, he grew up here.
I know. Yeah. Right around the corner, man. And fight on, my SC brother. I love it. First off, man, before we get into the Chargers, man, what are we going to do about our alma mater, man? What are we going to do?
Man, I don't know, man. You tell me. You should go back up there. See what them boys talking about, man.
You think I should? Should I go pay him a visit? Should I try to put my name in the hat?
Yeah. We got to get some more alumni back in the round, especially the greats. Had the greats come around. That would really help the program.
See, Fred? I maybe have to step it up. We'll talk after we talk on the air, man. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, people have suggested you go get that job.
Yeah. Let's put it out there. Put it out there, Fred.
Should have
put it out there already for me. All right. We're gonna get the ball rolling.
It's out there.
All right, man. First of all, I want to know, you played at SC, grew up here, grew up in L.A., and now you're playing down the road from where you grew up, man. What's it like playing at home for the Chargers in the NFL?
This is one of the best feelings in the world, just to be able to have, that support staff that's been with you your whole life, cheering for you in your next journey, and just being home and being in front of that home crowd is no better feeling, That's not really something that's common with guys in the NFL. Guys go away from home. Guys away from home for the first time, but I'm still here in my home town. Got all my family, my friends, my loved ones supporting me, so it's great.
Have you noticed more people coming around to the Chargers now, more people recognizing that the Chargers are here and the Chargers are a good team?
Yeah, definitely. When you start winning, people start paying attention. So, give credit to the coaching staff. Give credit to Tom Telesco and the Spanos family. They've done a good job over the years of bringing in, quality guys and they quality head coaches. So we might have one now with Coach Staley. So credit them.
Yep, and you guys had a big win over the Steelers. I gotta say, just in that game, just the resilience, and it feels like, that kind of game when you're out in front and then they come back and then you guys win it in the end. It's one of those games that can be a momentum changer or just kind of a statement for the rest of the season. And you guys have played well, had some tough, tight losses, but that was one that in a tight ball game you guys won. What's the feeling with this team? I know you guys feel like you're a playoff team, but now, including your quarterback, who I think played his best game by bringing everybody back and just running and throwing, but is the feeling in that locker room is that you guys are as good as anybody can go to the Super Bowl and win it?
Oh, absolutely. We know where we want to go, where we want to be. We think we can compete with the best of the best, but, we still have a lot of things to fix, and we're still having a ladder we want to climb and things we want to get better at. So we're always emphasizing that in practice. And, we can be as good as we want to be, as good as everybody thinks we can be, until we put it on ourselves and we get it all done in practice and, just keep this thing rolling.
Austin Eckler told us last week after you guys lost, he said, look, we're on the fence. We can go either way. We got to figure it out. Did you feel that way too?
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, Austin Eckler was telling us after you guys had dropped a couple in a row that he basically felt the team was on a fence and it could go either way. You know, we've got to get it together and we can win or we can fall off the fence and go the other way. Did you feel that way too after those two losses?
Yeah, you know, starting to give a little flashbacks of last year, you know, where we'd win, then we would lose, we'd win. But, you know, but this year is a little bit different. You know, we won some tight close games. We feel like we can continue to do that. And there's no doubt that I know all the guys here will play hard and we'll continue to work to that goal of being the best we could be.
What has been the most challenging thing for you guys so far this season? I know it's, you know, playing on the road, playing at home. Sometimes the crowd is it was heavy Steelers the other night. What has been challenging for you this year so far?
Yeah, definitely just, you know, just I guess.
Oh, did we lose him?
You know, guys think about that, but at the end of the day, we're playing for each other. You know, we're playing for each other, playing for one another, we're playing for the bigger picture. You know, we just focus on that, then we'll be all right.
Okay, well, you're going to Denver, and, you know, they've kind of been up and down this year, too. You don't really know what you're going to get. What do you expect?
Well, I expect a tough fight. You know, every year we play the Denver Broncos, it's always been a fight, ever since my rookie year, you know, and it's a, you know, big divisional rivalry, big divisional game, so, you know, they're going to bring their best. They're going to bring our best. They know us well. So I'm expecting a dogfight. They got a lot of talent on that side of the ball, that offense, you know, with all those receivers and a running back. And so it'll be a tough challenge for us, and we're ready for it.
All right, Yuchenu, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving. Good luck in Denver.
Have a Thanksgiving. Everybody stay safe. Thank you.
All right. Chargers face the Broncos in Denver this Sunday at 1. The pregame coverage on Alt 98.7 begins at 11 a.m. Well, that was a big win last week, Rodney. They desperately needed that.
Huge, huge. And the way they won it, Fred, that's what I was kind of alluding to with him. And because we've seen the Chargers lose those games over the last couple of years that they've had in hand and then somehow let slip away at the end. And when Pittsburgh came back and tied that thing up and actually took the lead, it felt like, oh, here we go again. But then Herbert came back and hit the big pass to Mike Williams and they won the game. And that, which I feel sometimes a game and a win like that puts you over the edge and gets you that extra momentum during the middle of the season that can push you the rest of the way.
Let's quickly talk about what happened with Stan Kroenke in the NFL. We mentioned this yesterday. And on the Rams front, so the deal was, you know, the Rams move, City of St. Louis said, what they said is you basically screwed us. That's what they basically said.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have to pay for that. And, you know, Stan had signed a letter indemnifying all NFL owners. So in case litigation was brought forth, and it was, yep, by the City of St. Louis, all of a sudden Stan's on the hook for that. And it could have been in the billions of dollars. Now, Stan had told his partners, other team owners, that I need your help here, guys. I mean, I just built this $5 billion stadium. Come on. I can't get tacked with this whole bill. And then it went back and forth, back and forth. And basically, at last blush, they were still trying to figure out if NFL owners were going to jump in. It was going to go to trial in January. Well, it went to mediation yesterday. They had a mediation hearing in St. Louis. Rams attorneys were there. City of St. Louis was there. Different groups from St. Louis, all representing their own certain areas, were there. Here's how it plays out. It's been reported that it's done and that they've come to an agreement, $790 million. That's the price tag that somebody is going to have to pay St. Louis. And that leads to this. So who is that somebody? Is it Stan Kroenke? Or are the other owners going to jump in and help out? I asked somebody today, and I was told I can't speak to that. And it's highly unusual. And I could speculate and say, well, they stuck Stan with it, but I don't know that to be the case. I don't know if that's true or not, but apparently it is over. The lawsuit will not go to trial. They've settled $790 million. Either Stan and other NFL owners are going to have to pony up to St. Louis because they left, which is a joke in itself. They shouldn't have to pay him anything, but they are. Okay, that's done. Then there was this part of it. Hey, What do you think? Do you think St. Louis is going to hold out and say, okay, you don't have to pay us everything, but you got to grant us an expansion franchise?
Yeah.
There was no mention of that. None. It's yeah. money, and thanks for playing.
But doesn't it feel like the settlement is less than what was anticipated or what we even talked about? Because we talked about it as it could be upwards to
billions.
$4 billion.
Yep.
And now it's $790 million, which leads me to believe that it's under a billion that the other owners are going to probably tell Stan Kroenke, you know, when you this is your ball game. You indemnified us, so it's under a billion. It's something that you should be able to handle. You got this. This is on you.
Yeah, write a check.
Yeah.
I know the Rams felt that this could have been settled for between $500 and $750 million. Now, that was the Rams' feeling.
Mm-hmm. They were close.
Yeah, so they pretty much nailed it. But that would end the saga of St. Louis.
The saga of St. Louis.
Yeah, just like the spirits of St. Louis, the saga of St. Louis has now come to an end.